to read in public. So with very few exceptions, like, it's put me in really interesting places to read, like from, you know, Queen's Convocation to conferences that I didn't even understand what they were about to, you know, a vigil in the market square, like very homemade events. Yeah, a really beautiful range, and I have loved to see how poetry works in spaces like that where it doesn't usually live. And my guiding kind of metaphor for my work has been Kingston is called the Limestone City, and I don't particularly love that material. So I thought about the you know, the original name for this area is Cataraque. It's not even clear from which language that comes, whether it's Kanyan Keha or Anishinaabemowin, but because both languages have like root words that could have become that term. But there's a good like analysis of Laura Murray compiled sources and came up with the best possible explanation, I think, which is that it means like a place where there is mud or a place where there is clay. And so here's what I did. Like, to appease the people who are really attached to the Limestone City, I've also made a study of Auden's poem in praise of limestone. I've done some work with that, also to help me appreciate the material. But my guiding metaphor is, like, this is a place of clay or mud, which is different from limestone in the sense that, like, it's much more accessible. You can pick it up off the riverside, right? And then you can work with it with your hands. And then it ends up inhabiting. It doesn't make walls. It makes really domestic things that we eat from and share with. And so I've been trying to bring that spirit to what I'm doing with poetry in the community. Just like, you can make poetry. You know, we can share it together. We can do this very simply from the ground up. And there have been many events of that kind of nature. Yeah. And then I'll say this very briefly, that the most recent larger project I did was, we had a bridge downtown, it broke, it was old, it was 107 years old, so like within everyone's living memory there was always this bridge, and it made a really characteristic sound. Yeah, and so the idea of listening to the city, like this overlap with what you're saying, like you didn't hear the sound anymore when the bridge was gone, and nobody got to say goodbye because it wasn't an expected end to it. So I collected people's memories of the bridge and compiled them into a poem. So I got about 75 responses, and so that's a collective poem we made. There's a recording of it, and there's a broadside. And that feels like a document that, yeah, I'm proud of it, because it is everybody's voices there. Although, when I say everybody, like, one of my frustrations is, like, it's hard in Kingston to get everybody's voice. In fact, I didn't fully cross, like, the class divides in this city. When I'm soliciting those things, even, you know, the means that I'm doing it through, like, the festivals that I'm going to ask people, what did you remember about the bridge? Or, yeah, there's a certain demographic that's, like, the usual suspects. Yeah, I tried. I made some efforts, but, like, it's not easy to do that. Yeah, so that's something I'm still working on. But, yeah. That's some of the local.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. That's really fascinating. Thanks. Yeah, but yeah, I really enjoyed hearing what you said about like also democratizing like spaces, opening spaces for people, deploying citizen poets. Like, that's very neat.
Yeah. We walk amongst you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes so much sense also for a larger city. You need more hands on deck, basically. Yeah.
Outreach is really a thing. It's hard. There are some populations that I haven't been able to connect with yet because I need to be in relation and be. It's a slow moving thing. So that, I mean, I like the idea that you have 4 years, you know, because I feel like I'm just laying the groundwork with like people in the deaf community or people in certain indigenous communities that I'd like to collaborate with more. But, you know, I can't just send out a call and expect people to, like,
yeah, you have to build trust. Those relationships. Yeah. It's true. Like, 4 years is a nicer arc, I think. Yes. Yeah.
Has being the poet laureate changed your own writing?
I'd like to hear you answer that question too, but yes, it has. Yeah. Yeah, I thought about, you know, I've had the conversation with other poets of, like, I have written some much more accessible poems than I would have otherwise. That was my decision because, like, too many people, I feel, are like, oh, poetry, no. Like, that's already overwhelming as a concept, right? And I wanted to make it easier to... Yeah, so when I do write occasional poems, yes, I write. I wouldn't write them that way if they were for the page or for... Yeah, but I've heard some poets say, no, like, don't compromise on that. And, you know, I think I've walked a middle ground. Like, I can sleep at night with the aesthetic of those poems. But they're not necessarily... Yeah, I was meeting people halfway. Yeah.
When they're occasional poems, what kind of occasions are you writing occasional poems for?
So we do have an annual mayor's levy. That's the only mandatory occasional poem. Yeah, so I've written that one. And then, I mean, the city's also been great about compromising on, like, will you do Canada Day? No, thank you. So then I do, like, the Intercultural Arts Festival. I've done that event a few times. And, yeah, so different city occasions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've done things. I haven't had to write those occasional poems, and also because I have a book that was just, that came out, like, I was working on that book in my first year, and then it came out just now. But I've been doing things through sound, like Friday Night Frogs, where I invite people to come and sit near the wetlands and listen to the Pacific tree frogs or listen to the marsh frogs. And we just come, and there's like zero agenda, but we gather together and just walk around listening to the frogs. And then people just drift away when they want. And it's a funny thing. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. And I think that's why it works, because there's no barrier and there's no goal other than let's be together and let's all be listening to the same thing. And
that's
very few times that I witness people listening to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really striking me as I've been traveling. I'm on buses and on trains, and these used to be places of talking. There used to be always a din or a hubbub, and you would sort of drowse and your head would hit the window, but you'd hear people sort of chattering. Or you just turn to the person next to you and be like, oh, why are you going to Edmonton? And because that was what you did. Now they are silent. And as we're losing each species of bird, we're losing vibrations and bird calls and bird songs, and we're falling into silence in the eco-suicide that we're all involved in. And so, to me, it feels kind of radical to gather just to listen to tree frogs. And it's a different poem. It's like what, you know, Hildegard Westerkamp and Pauline Oliveros and all these sound theorists have connected with deep listening and considering the eco-acoustic soundscape to be a composition, and what happens when we change that. So I haven't been writing too much, although I have a book coming out next year with Gary Barwin, but I haven't been writing new things. I've been making things, like what Antonia was talking about, because it seems like the materiality is attracting me.
Yeah. That's beautiful to hear the poetry in the frog song, and not even no translations, just like that is the poem. Yes. Yeah, that's really nice. Questions? You're all poet laureates now.
Yeah. Ambassadors.
Yeah.
Are there other BC poet laureates?
Yes.
And same in Ontario with David O'Meara, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do you have access to whatever they're doing? Like, and you were appointed, but you were...
I was interviewed.
You were interviewed.
The League of Canadian Poets has a place on their website that's not very well maintained, where it has like a half-hearted stab at listing all the different poet laureates.
I didn't even know that.
I know, it's really hard to find. Honestly, I've been on this weird mission where I've been like meeting the poet laureate of Edmonton, whose name is Majin, and meeting the Francophone poet laureate of Ottawa, Veronique, and doing readings with Neil Sirkin from Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, and with Kieran Reger, who's Victoria's poet laureate. And I have people asking me, like, especially the young people are like, does Vancouver have a teen poet laureate? And I would love to say, you should be the teen poet laureate, you know, but there's, but there are, actually, it's funny, there's a couple people who have just popped up after coming to poet laureate events, and they said, I want to be the poet laureate of my neighborhood or my island, and they've self-appointed. And there's somebody who is now, has put a motion forward in Port Coquitlam, BC, saying, we need a poet laureate, and I will be it. And so I love this activation. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be contagious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what about Ontario? How many do you know?
I don't know, but we have... So I know Gananoque has a poet laureate. Toronto has a very active program. And then there's an Ontario-wide... The Ontario Parliament as a poet laureate.
Is that Lillian Allen?
No, she's Toronto.
She was
she's
Toronto. Trying. Yeah.
There's Mississauga has one, I think.
Mississauga does, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I forget the name now of the Ontario one, but that's a 3-year term as well.
But please write to the League of Canadian Poets and say,
what the heck?
I am hungry for more info. Could you please update your list? Or, you know, I don't know. Something like that, because we need to be like, I've just learned so much from like from this, and I think too, if we shared like what worked for you, what's a good thing to do, what's a bad thing to do, like don't give out your home phone number, like obviously, you know, but it's amazing, like people will come and say, oh, Ellie, here's my 400-page manuscript. Can you read it by tomorrow and give me feedback? Yes. And it's like, oh, you know.
So, yeah, one thing the city of Kingston has that I appreciate, it's just actually, I think it's just a technical glitch, but it serves me so well, is I can't get the poet laureate emails directly. Like, there's an address through the city, but it has to pass through city staff before they send it to me. So that's really nice to have that buffer of the, you know.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone's got ideas about Vancouver Poet Laureate stuff or wants to stay in touch, firstvancouver.ca is the way to do it. But now that you're all citizen poets, feel free to use my direct mental line. Just beam the ideas right to my head.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bruce, for recording.
Thank you, my pleasure.
And thank you to this beautiful bookstore. Yeah. Thank you, Joel and Nicola.
You're welcome.
And you just heard from a June 24th event at Novel Idea Bookstore, reading and discussion featuring Kingston Poet Laureate Sadiqa DeMeyer and Vancouver Poet Laureate Ali Crawley-Gardner. That was in discussion with moderator Chris Turnbull. And and the books mentioned were Sadiqa's, or launched, I should say, Sadiqa's latest book called Cuffs People, and Ellie's Sometimes Forest. It is 13 minutes after 5 o'clock. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you out there for tuning in to the first segment of this show, and also to Sadiqa, Chris, and Ellie that evening for a wonderful event. And also, of course, as always, Novel Idea Bookstore. I hope you can stay tuned to the second hour, the rest of the remainder of this hour, where you'll hear, and it is, I've had this, and this seemed like a perfect place to play it. I've had it for about a month or so, and it's the community collaborative poem that Sadiqa mentioned in her talk that evening, and so you're going to hear that, and then after that, you're going to also hear another book launch event held at Novel Idea, Merv Dobb, with his book called Moore's Memories, Random Images of Life. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC. Just a reminder that I do upload both hours of this show every week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. Tell you what, let's do this, and I will be right back.
Hey, Kingston, let's take a walk together for awareness, fundraising, and fun. Join us for the 2026 Kingston Canada Walks for Bladder Cancer event happening at Lake Ontario Park on Sunday, September 13th, 2026 at 9:30 a.m. Gather your friends, family, and colleagues and team up for a day by the water supporting Bladder Cancer Canada and register now at bccwalk.ca. Great fun for a great cause. See you on September 13th.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
And again, you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. It is almost 16 minutes after 5 o'clock, we're here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. Now, just briefly again go over what we're going to hear to finish the show up this afternoon. Coming up first, you're going to hear it's roughly a six-minute audio from, again, a community project in which Sadiqa collected memories to commemorate the LaSalle Causeway Bascule Bridge after it was demolished in 2024. The bridge was definitely a landmark here, and so many people had wonderful memories about it. Over 70 members took part in Sadiqa's call, and the poem's title is "The Causeway in the Rearview Mirror," and I received permission from her again about a month or so ago to air it on this show. It did launch officially, I think it was released in April of this year, so here is that collaborative poem called "The Causeway in the Rearview Mirror." Here we go.
The Causeway in the Rearview Mirror.
Was older than us all, the green of artichokes, an architecture of our own, a structured interruption of the deer.
Dashed between the words downtown and east. A steel fluidity that served the traffic of the road and river both.
The riverside like tinfoil, and the lake was choppier.
That pause for passing boats, the slowdown of the world, it seemed to be the rhythm of the city.
Huge metal body raising its massive dinosaur head.
That oxidized copper, that hospital green, that pea soup green.
Was the view from Knapp's boathouse, small rental boats circling.
We made time-lapse movies of its movement. Our group gathered with our easels at the shore to paint the bridge.
Crossed it at least twice a day and every day between downtown and Berryfield.
Loved hearing that translation of the tires to a hum. Was exciting to bike over, trusting the grates, taking up space on the road.
Walking to work. Waiting for the bridge to come the hell back down. Crossing it to see the Frontenacs, to Grass Creek Park, to sleepovers with friends in the East End, for sledding at Fort Henry, for the fireworks.
We would roll the car window down and dream.
We were seven, wanting to strum the metal trusses, reached our hand out and it hurt so much. We were 12 or 13, biking with our dads. We could see the water through the holes, kayaking in lucid green and blue under the roaring shadow of the cars.
Saw 100 officers in scarlet marching across to a drum. We watched a boat rip its roof off on the bottom of the bridge, not even leaving a mark.
Going to soccer away games, it was the signal to prepare our minds. We walked it in the early morning and a heron flew below.
We blockaded it in solidarity with Wet'suwet'en land defenders.
Letting the car go brakeless down the hill, seeing when on the bridge we'd have to press the gas, was the soundtrack of our childhood. Like all the cars were race cars when they passed. sleeping in the back seat, waking to that deafening sound.
Our mother saying, "Oh my goodness, it's the bees again." We were frightened. We covered our ears. The baby's arms flew out, startled by the vibration and buzz. Our grandma remembered the hum as a child.
Everyone was seeing the moment that we left the casement for the medicine by his father asked, "What note is that? A C, a D, or A?" And later play the chord on his guitar.
You had to lift your feet up from the car floor till the noise was done. Our spaniel would lose his mind, knowing the sound meant a walk at the fort. Begging our parents to back up the car when it opened, a green giant coming to eat us.
Our mothers taking pictures of us with the bridge, our grandparents looking so young and in love against the railing in black and white, us and our friends jumping off on hot nights into the coolness of the lake. As teenagers, we wedged against one of the girders and took a ride up. Then, when it lowered, we ran.
First night in our RMC dorm, could not figure out what that noise was. In winter, the metal creaking, percussion of the wind, the loud gear shifting when it opened, deep, melancholic groan of a beast, sampled it for this electronic record.
We drove across at different speeds until we had the notes we needed for O Canada. Was there even someone there, or was it cameras, remote control?
We used to think the operator lived inside, like a lighthouse keeper. We thought the counterweight was filled with water and then emptied out.
To operate, bells, gates, span lock, brakes, lift raises the bridge. We tried not to bounce the end when it landed, lowering as quickly as we could for ambulances. It could not be lifted if the wind speed was too high. From our house, we knew the wind's directions from the sound, could tell which way a car was driving.
That buzzing in the background while we wandered with our ice cream cones.
Heard it whenever we stepped out for a smoke.
Called it the Wara Wara Bridge, the Bee Bridge, the Whale Bridge, Farting Bridge, Noisy Bridge, Singing, Screaming, Wailing Bridge.
The musical bridge, falling asleep to its hypnotic tones.
That sound was where the moon rose.
The short, loud rumble, calming and familiar, reverberating off the water itself.
A constant all of our lives, steadfast, familiar comfort. Time moves in one direction, memory in another, as they say.
It meant that we had reached our destination. Meant that we were home.
And you just heard, sorry I cut off that last word there, it was home. I think you picked that up. I think I got it together there quickly enough. You just heard a poem that was a commemoration to the LaSalle Causeway Bridge. That I believe was maybe early 1900s, I believe, is when it was built, and then torn down in because it was faulty in 2024. You just heard the community collaborative poem and in collaborative voices as well, called The Causeway in the Rearview Mirror. Again, collected memories to commemorate that bridge. And the bridge was definitely a landmark here, and so many had wonderful memories about it. So It was nice that this worked out really well, that I had a copy of this. Thank you, Sadiqa, for making sure that I did a couple of months ago or so, and that there was a segue in the reading and launch that night that allowed them to sort of appear at the same time on this show. I was kind of waiting for a good spot to do that. And again, that poem launched officially in April of this year, I believe. And I'll tell you what, I have to do these at least once more, maybe twice more, but let's do the first one of these right now. And I'll be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
And again, it is now 26 minutes after 5 o'clock. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up, before I do this, though, I think I will mention what I normally do at the end of the show, but occasionally I run out of time and don't do that. But just the usual mention at the end of each hour is that every week I upload both hours of the show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. I usually get that uploaded just before 7 o'clock or so. It's about the time when I get home, and it just takes a few minutes for me to do that. Now, what I'd like to do is introduce the final featured segment today. You're going to hear an August 13th launch event at Novel Idea Bookstore as Merv Dobb launched his latest book that evening called Moore's Memories, Random Images of Life. Tell you what, here we go. Enjoy.
It's been suggested that I say, it's been suggested that I say a few words, and I'd like to do it early rather than later because I know most people want to go home to bed. So, I will talk a little louder, Duncan. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I appreciate it. And thanks to Oscar and Nicola from Novel Idea for putting another one of these on. It's been 2 years since we were here the last time. I don't know if some of you remember, but we did this one 2 years ago called Bits and Pieces, which is sort of like what this one is. And I thought at the time that I was probably done, okay, because, you know, you can only paint so many pictures, right? But it turned out that I was, and I came across this book by Orhan Pamuk, and I don't know if you know Pamuk, but Pamuk won the Nobel Prize a few years ago. And Pamuk trained as an architect, don't know if you know that, but and so he's quite a good painter and sketcher, and he kept the diary for quite a period of time, and so what he did was superimpose his drawings on his sketches, right? Did a whole book, all right? It's a huge, heavy book, right? And I kept thinking to myself, as I say in the foreword, I don't know when he sleeps because he was writing books at the same time and all kinds of other things. So, but I thought, you know, I could do something like that, right? It's not, I somehow feel that it's not substantial, okay, because what I did was I used photographs instead of sketches because I can't draw with a damn, okay? But I do like to take pictures and have collected various different albums over time and with little notes attached to them. So I thought, you know, I can do something like that, right? See how it goes. And I started into it, and it got kind of interesting. And then I thought, well, people are going to get bored because they don't want to look at too many pictures. And so I had a kind of a decision to make about how long to make the thing. And so I don't know if you'll find it boring or interesting or what, but this is what I've done, okay? And it essentially takes pictures and makes observations on pictures, and in some instances there's a poem attached and a longer essay and so on and so forth. To give you a flavor of it, I'm going to look at several spots in the book. The first is on page 6, and it looks like a surreal drawing of a bridge, right? A picture of a bridge. It's actually at the end of Mowat Avenue, for anybody who has ever lived over in that area. And it's the winter time, and Maureen and Tom Williams and Elaine and I were out for a walk, right, in the snow, and came on this scene. And as I say, it's another winter scene, this one decidedly surreal, all black and white, rocks and trees, a bridge and ice. Found at the end of a street when walking with friends one snowy cold morning, the scene suggests a certain ethereal button-down, igloo-bound world put to bed for the duration that will hibernate till the spring comes to wake it up. I keep coming back to this image time and again. It definitely haunts me, okay? It's kind of like a dream, right? And so that was one that might draw your attention to. The second one comes from a bicycle sort of thing. One morning down on Treasure Key in the Bahamas this recent period of time, February, you know, down at Robert and Judas. And I saw this sign in front of a house called Point of View, which I thought was very clever, okay? There's a double pun in there, to say the least, and kind of interesting. But so I saw the sign on a villa, went out for a ride one morning on Treasure Key in the Bahamas, and I appreciated the double pun and the whimsy of it, okay? But something else gnawed at me at the time, and afterwards as well. It gave rise to the following poem. Maybe that was it, but I'm still not sure. There's more to it that I can't put my finger on, but here's the poem. Point of view. Point of view, says you. Ideology, says I. The truth, says you. All lies, say I. Where to, asks you. We die, says I. Okay. End of poem. Okay. So comment on maybe, you know, the present circumstances were what was gnawing away at me, but that gave strength to that. Okay. A third one, which is Justin and Julia and the Kingston Prize on page 26. This is the portrait prize, okay, that is held every year for painters. And I say it's from October 23rd, perhaps the most dramatic photo in the book. It is of a painting that was part of the exhibition that was the Canadian Portrait Prize competition in 2023. Here we find a bearded older man, no comments, in all his agonizingly weathered splendor. A big canvas, well lighted, it was an instant magnet. While it did not take first prize with the judges, it did find favor with all viewers, handily winning the People's Choice Award. Everything about the work suggests someone who has seen it all and come out the other side, undaunted, wiser, resolved. The eyes are particularly revealing. Now that you've seen it like the rest of us, you too will likely never forget it. Mm-hmm. It's a strong, we had a huge portrait sat on the wall, and it was Okay, a couple more and that's it. Page 51. This comes from a cruise that Elaine and I did recently around Japan in April of this past year. It's a picture of cherry blossoms and a bridge from a Japanese garden. And the following poem, and I've got a couple of haiku experts in this bloody audience. All right, so this is a dangerous... In a Japanese garden at cherry blossom time, blossoms pink all around that do abound. Despite spring rain, the park made green. Okay. There are these really elaborate rules about how you write haikus, okay, syllables and all that kind of stuff. So it takes a good deal of ingenuity to try to figure out how to do it. The penultimate one, which I like, and it's one that is taken. It's called, I call it the selfie at sunset, okay? And November 2023, and it's Elaine and I as we climbed up an extensive rock formation to get to Cecil Rhodes' burial place outside Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. It was a nice late afternoon with the light wind helping to keep the heat down. Rhodes had wanted to be buried out in the boonies of a favorite part of Africa, called after him for quite some time, of course, Rhodesia. Being who he was, he got his wish, of course. We'd call it hill country with little of substance except the African bush, i.e. nothing really special but typical of that part of the world, which is likely why Rhodes chose it. After the climb, we came down to a nice campfire reception of drinks and hors d'oeuvres laid on by the Rovos rail folks that we were traveling with. That and a lovely African sunset. They're very different, okay, if you've not been to Africa. They're very different sunsets. They're as colorful, but they're not turquoises like ours, which are also spectacular. Made the day a memorable one among many on that South African trip. Okay, so. And then one last one, which is the postscript. And it relates to something that I always think is important about books. I always think it's important how a book looks and feels, okay? Somebody was we were talking about that earlier, Kindle versus hard copy and stuff like that. It is as important as what it contains or what it says. And I know I share this with other people like Marilyn Simmons, for example, who wrote a whole book on this subject. And I think it's worth noting from time to time. So the typeface that's in here is very interesting. To me, it was anyways. It's called Lucida handwriting, okay, mostly in 12-point, and was originally developed in 1984 to present a new and clear understanding in conjunction with the computers that were coming along. And so various forms of released. This handwriting form was in 1992. I always like to use Times Roman, but the italic of Times Roman was terrible, right? And I certainly couldn't do what Pamuk did because my handwriting is appalling. So just taking photo. So anyways, what I did was a compromise, and I used this Lucida handwriting. I don't think it looks too bad, okay? it's different. And so that's it, okay? Those are all my comments. And
the title of the book.
The title of the book.
Why?
Is Moore's Memory. Okay, very good.
Tell us about Moore.
Moore is my alter ego. Okay. I started out in this exercise, I don't know, 20 years ago, writing, writing instead of painting. And I settled on Owen Moore. Okay. Moore, my background's German from outside of Kitchener, and so there are lots of Moors up that way. There was a guy who played football for Queens many, many years ago, Larry Moore. And so it seemed, and two of my names, Mervyn and Austin, are inexplicably Welsh. Okay. And so Owen seemed appropriate, so Owen Moore, yeah. Right? And I decided to ascribe to Moore the memories that those pictures ascribe. Okay, and so that's why I own Moore.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah. If you're up to it, the trilogy, the first three books I wrote are kind of a life history type thing, only written from Owen Moore's standpoint.
And so, and you don't sort of hold back on any details of adventures in your books.
Yes, yeah. Andre's in the process of reading a good bit of it right now. And so,
I recommend it.
I think you might want to say that a little louder.
Say it a little louder.
I'm too shy.
Yeah, good. No, I don't have anything further, and if anybody else doesn't have any questions, then there's food and drink out there, and there are lots of
Books to buy.
And books to buy, but there are lots of interesting people here. You should talk to each other, because I'm one of the few people who knows everybody here. Okay? So, we've got everybody from bike groups to book groups to golfing partners to traveling partners, right, to old friends, and so on and so on.
Okay. Jay Merv.
Thank you.
And you just heard from an August 13th launch event at Novel Idea Bookstore, Merv Daub launching his latest book called Moore's Memories, Random Images of Life. It is 41 minutes after 5 o'clock. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM and live online at www.cfrc.ca. I do have another short batch of just recorded announcements to air here now, but then when I come back, I've got maybe close to 10 minutes of time that I can share maybe calls for submissions as well, but also some upcoming events. And, I think that's what I'm going to do. And also, I will end the show today with a song, so hope you can please stay tuned for all the rest of it. And also, thanks again to all of you for tuning in to the show today. I'll be right back here.
Hello, and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The Kingston Arts Council has an arts membership program of all local arts disciplines. This program is aimed at providing meaningful support to artists in our region and fostering a stronger artistic network within our community. The membership includes an artist profile on our public digital database, low-cost health insurance, local discounts, and exclusive membership programming. Learn more and sign up today at artskingston.ca/the-KAC-membership-program/.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here, Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
The Kingston Arts Council is hosting a Budgeting for Art Grants workshop on Tuesday, August 25th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch. The ED of the Multicultural Artists Coalition, Alejandra Salgado Sandales, is traveling from Ottawa. It's going to be both informative and hands-on, both for organizations and for individual artists. Please register at artskingston.ca/KAC-events.
And you are again and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And I, as I sort of mentioned, I will end the show today. I'm going to share from a list of upcoming calls and events. And before I do either, and then also have a song that I'll end the show with today as well. A lot of times there isn't time to do that, so there is plenty of time to do all of these things today. So it's kind of nice to have that option. I would also, before I do anything, is thank all of you out there for having tuned into the show today. My thanks as well again to Sadiqa, Chris, and Ellie, and Merv for each their wonderful events, and again to Novel Idea Bookstore having been the place that allowed those things to happen and encourages them to happen there. So thank all of you. I thought it's been quite a while. I know I've done events a few times recently, but since I have a little bit extra time, let me see what kind of looking here. I'm going to go ahead and do a couple of, at least a couple of calls first. There's Pellet Poetry Prize, is a Ekphrastic Poetry Prize. And it is from their website. I'm just going to read. We invite you to use scenic views by participating in our upcoming Ekphrastic Poetry Prize. It says Ekphrastic poems offer a writer's unique perspective and perception of a specific work of art, breathing new life into it. They have a $3,000 and then a $300 and a $200 prize for the top three plus publication. Check out their website. It's PLETTE, poetry.com/2026 Ekphrastic Poetry Prize. The deadline for that's coming up pretty quickly, August 30th. The Master's Review has still the same deadline, has a call out Summer Short Story Award for new writers. It says this is open to any writer who has not published a novel or memoir with a major press. First prize award is $3,000 and agency review. There are also second and third place awards as well. That I'm not going to take the time to go into, but if you're interested, go to mastersreview.com/short-story-award for new writers. Again, that deadline is August 30th. There's a local one here as well. I'm just going to read it. This is a media release. The Poetry Bench, they're looking for poetry submissions. Again, it's Sarah Wiseman that is doing this. And I'm quoting from their media release. Imagine walking along a beautiful nature trail through the woods under sumac canopy by a pond where herons are fishing and otters are playing, and then coming upon a bench where you can sit, read, and listen to poetry. It says as well, do you have a poem you can imagine in this setting? And then introduces herself. I'm Sarah Wiseman, and I maintain the Poetry Bench, a bench I built a couple of years ago along the Milburn Creek Trail in Battersea, Ontario. This year, a new book with a collection of new poems will appear on the Poetry Bench for the month of October as part of the Wild Art Walk 2026. A deadline to submit is August 31st. The organizer, Sarah, says, I will get back to you early September. This is a project of the heart, and so unfortunately there's no payment for poets, but if interested in having a poem in that book this year, email wildartwalk@gmail.com with Poetry Bench in the subject line. Again, a deadline to submit is August 31st. Got another August 31st here, Tower Poetry, for their winter edition. Deadline is August 31st, and just go to it's their 75th anniversary, so they do put out two poetry anthologies a year. Submission is free, it says, and their website, towerpoetry.ca/submissions, that it will talk about their winter issue there. And I think I'm going to go ahead and go over to switch pages here. And yeah, let's just move into some events coming up now. I already know next week's show is going to feature the August readings The End the Journey Continues monthly open mic, and that's going to be on the show next week. And then on the Tuesday following this, so this will be September 1st, is the next in that series. And that series began in 2009 and has run continuously since. It's a first Tuesday night of the month reading series. And the Elm Cafe, where it is now held, was our fourth venue, became our fourth venue all the way back in 2018. And so the Elm is located at 303 Montreal Street, Kingston. And the Journey Continues open mic is happening that evening, September 1st. Runs from 6 to 9:15 p.m. Doors do open at 6:30. I encourage you to come early to make sure you can get a seat. Also coming up is that evening, Wayne Grady will be launching his new book at Novel Idea Bookstore, the new book called Cartel and Other Cover Stories. That's happening again September 1st, 7 p.m. Check out the Novel Idea Bookstore. Has a great Facebook page where they really promote and have all kinds of information. So check out their Facebook page at Novel Idea Bookstore Kingston, and that's located at 156 Princess Street in, in Kingston, again, September 1st, Tuesday, September 1st, 7 p.m. Also, one more. I think I can do one more. First Tuesday Muse is the first Tuesday night of the month. Open mic. It's held in Madoc with TJ Best. Check out their Facebook page for info and updates. So as well, it happens at Finn's Pub and Patio, September 1st to 7 to 9 p.m. And that, again, that's in Madoc. And let's see if I have time here. Might have time. You know what? We've got a whole nother week. I'm going to be sure and do that next week. But there will be a book launch coming up. Carolyn Kenyon's Ann Archer with Chris Gagier, and known as Kasia. So they will be launching their books on Thursday, September 3rd at 7 p.m. Novel Idea Bookstore. So watch for that. And again, I'm going to mention more of it next week. I would, again, like to thank all of you for tuning in to the show today. Please stay tuned for Saltwater Music coming up at right at the top of the hour after this song that I'm going to air, get it all set up here. I also like to mention again, I upload both hours of the show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They'll be up there later tonight. Again, stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell, right after this song. Here we go. Thank you. butt in here, but I should credit as this is Radiohead with How to Completely Disappear.
That's not me. I go where I please. I walk through walls. I float down. I'm not.